Good morning, everyone. I don't know if we're live yet we are. Good morning, everybody, and good morning to everyone online as well. We have attendance pads now at the end of every pew. If you would fill out the attendance pad, we'd love to know who was with us. If you could fill those out. We have Thanksgiving bags at the entrances. Those Thanksgiving bags are for the Salvation Army. You'll see them in the hallway. Some have already brought them back. But we do those every year. There's a list of things to put in the bag, and you bring it back for the Salvation Army. It's awesome. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we also have the community Thanksgiving that takes place at the venue. Our church does a lot to help with that. The youth and kids and families will be going November 23rd from 10 to 12. That's a day before Thanksgiving. From 10 to 12, we'll go help set up the community Thanksgiving. But everybody in the church is welcome to come at that time as well. We have a group signed up to do that. But if you want to work a different time slot, just contact the people organizing the community Thanksgiving and they'll let you come anytime. Our church also sponsors the cakes for community Thanksgiving, so you're welcome to give to that if you would like. Tonight, here in the sanctuary, the Shaneyfelt family is doing a gospel concert at 6 p.m. If you don't know who they are, Officer Shaneyfelt is a school resource officer, but he's also at our church every Wednesday night with our kids and youth. He welcomes everybody in the door, so make sure to check that out tonight. If you're really wanting a wild night, drive to Lineville First Methodist, because I'll be speaking there at a youth rally, so that'll be fun. But check out our Wednesday nights. We have the best Bible studies in the whole world. Our children's group on Wednesday night is absolutely amazing. And Harriet Murray has a class on Wednesday night, and I hear it's phenomenal. That's what the reviews say. So, and these are my last announcement. United Methodist Women have news. They have a luncheon November 14th at noon. Rococo is a flower shop downtown. They're going to do a presentation. I hear it's going to be amazing. And I heard you can make a reservation until the 11th. The 11th is your last day. And they also have a UMW bake sale happening November 20th. So you can get baked goods for Thanksgiving. It's exciting. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving God, I pray that you will calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?
Spoken over us, and as we lift our hands, the Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Well, that song just gets to me every time. Our children are going to go to children's church with Miss Catherine. Very best children's church around. Rated 5 stars on Google, I hear. Yeah. Pastor Andy is going to come help me now for a very special part of our service. Today is All Saints Sunday. And it's a Sunday that we remember those who are near and dear to us, who have gone from this life to life eternal since this time last year. And so what we're going to do is, very first thing we're going to do is we light the large candle. And that is in memory of all the saints, because none of us would be here today if we had not had those people who were special in our lives, who lived the life before us by word and by deed and example. Who helped make us who we are today. So that's for all the saints. But then we have a whole list of our church family who have joined that cloud of witnesses since this time last year. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite, if there's anyone here in the family, as I call the name of the person, if anybody's here in the family, I want to invite you to come and to take one of the wooden sticks and light the wooden candle lighter from the All Saints candle, and then light a candle in memory of your loved one. And then once that's done, I'm going to invite anyone else who's lost a loved one since now and last year this time. If you are here and you would like to do that, and in memory of your loved one, then I would invite you to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the person's name, and I'm going to say for the life of, and then the person's name, and then I would ask you to respond, "Oh Lord, we give you thanks." Okay, so that's your line as I call these names. And then as people come, don't wait till the last person gets done before you get up to come. So as I call the names, everybody can just come up. I appreciate it. Let's pray. Oh Lord, for the life of Stan Walker, we give you thanks. For the life of Marlon Bug, we give you thanks. For the life of Dr. Sam Norris, we give you thanks. For the life of Sandy Self, we give you thanks. For the life of Barry Loveman, we give you thanks. For the life of Bob McElroy, we give you thanks. For the life of Ellen Cummins, we give you thanks. For the life of Tom Quinn, we give you thanks. For the life of Joyce Sington, we give you thanks. For the life of Steve Huey, we give you thanks. For the life of Betty Eccles, we give you thanks. For the life of Katie Grimes, we give you thanks. For the life of Sue Roberts, we give you thanks. For the life of M.B. McCartney, we give you thanks. For the life of Winnie Mae Beasley, we give you thanks. For the life of Daryl Yarnell, we give you thanks. For the life of Judy Dressman, we give you thanks. And as I continue this prayer, if you have a loved one that you would like to light a candle for, then you're welcome to come up during the prayer to do that. And gracious God, we give you thanks for those who have finished their course and who have fought the good fight and who have now received that crown that awaited them. And we give you thanks that as we run our race, those saints are cheering us on and they are an inspiration for us. We give you thanks, Lord, for the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who ran the race before us, who defeated death, so that we can let this time be a celebration as well as a memorial. And so, God, I pray for all those who grieve today, for those who could not be with us and wanted to be. I pray, Lord, that even where they are, they would feel your strong presence and know we love them. And we offer all these prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for participating in this service. It's always one of the most special services of the year for me. I want to just remind you to give your service and your time and your talents in support of the ministries of this church. Thank you for giving, and I appreciate it so much. You can give online, you can give at our offering plates, and you can use offering envelopes, you can text to give. Just bring your piggy bank. I don't care. We need your support, and we're thankful for it. Let's pray for our offering. Lord, whatever we give to you from our hearts. We give our tithes and offerings. We give our love and our service, and we hope that it builds up your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
With my life laid down, I've surrendered now. I give you everything.
Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5 will be our scripture for today. And I invite you to follow along with me up on the screen or using your Bible app on your phone or one of the pew Bibles, or just listen and let's open our hearts to the Lord. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of my seminary teachers, it was an early morning class, which we all hated, but every morning that we had that class, he did this greeting to us, and we were required to respond back to it. So I'm going to make you all, since you've had an extra hour of sleep, respond back to this greeting. And if you're worshiping with us by live stream, then you can type the response into the comment line. Okay? Are you ready? Ready? Smile if you're ready. Okay. All right. Here goes. Good morning, saints. You're supposed to say good morning, sinners. Yeah, y'all sounded a little more enthusiastic on the good morning, sinners part. I don't know why. But we're both, honestly, aren't we? Yeah. Dr. Mike Howell was a biology professor at Samford University. And several years ago, he wrote a book called Butterflies in Alabama. And in that book, he made an observation which I'm not a biologist or anything, but I have just noticed on my own. He said in his book that there are fewer butterflies in Alabama than there used to be. And I started thinking about, you know, when I was a kid, it seemed like I saw a lot more butterflies. Anybody else like that? You think you saw more butterflies when you were a kid? I think so too, and it's scientifically the truth. The butterfly population in Alabama is decreasing. So, I mean, nobody wants the butterflies to go away, right? Butterflies are just ridiculously beautiful. They're just flying works of art. And everybody that I know smiles when they see a butterfly. But we have to remember that before butterflies are butterflies, they're caterpillars. Little green, crawly, creepy things. Caterpillars, in contrast to butterflies, are kind of creepy, you know. They tend to eat up everything around them, and most folks just don't enjoy having the little worms around very much, right? They like having the butterflies around, okay? Just not so much the caterpillars. And here's the problem. You can't have one unless you have the other, right? So what do we do? What do we do? I'm asking, what do we do about the decreasing population of butterflies in Alabama? There is another decreasing population that is in danger in our state, in danger in the whole country for that matter, and it is the population of young people in our worship services. Now, look at any poll that you want to, any research forum that you want to. Look at the Pew Research Forum, Lifeway, whatever forum you want to, whatever survey you want to. And the least represented group, the least represented generation, the least present generation in worship of all of the generations in America is Generation Z. Those people from ages 10 to 25. 34% of Generation Z, 34% report that they have no religious affiliation at all. None. As compared to 29% of millennials and 25% of Generation X, and the percentage goes down as it gets to like baby boomers and things like that. But 34%, no religious affiliation at all. In fact, 18% of Gen Zs report that they attend church weekly. 18%. And which is interesting because that same percentage, that same 18% of Gen Zs report that they are agnostic or atheist. So I know everybody hates statistics, but listen to this. This is what I want you to get. The younger generation from ages 10 to 25 is just as likely to be agnostic or an atheist as they are to be a weekly church attender. Let that sink in for a little bit. And while you're letting that sink in, look around our beautiful sanctuary this Sunday morning. Where are the beautiful and handsome young faces we love to see? They're like butterflies. They're like flying works of art. We love them. Nobody wants them to not be here. Every one of them is a living masterpiece of God's handiwork. Nobody wants them to go away. But just like butterflies, our young people kind of have to go through the caterpillar stage. You know what I mean? Back to Dr. Howell's book in Butterflies in Alabama, he suggests this. He said, the way to build the butterfly population back up, how we can do that, is to create butterfly-friendly environments, right? Did you know that you can plant gardens? I haven't personally done it. Some of you probably have. You can plant gardens that have these particular kinds of flowers that attract the butterflies, that the butterflies feed on, that they like to lay their eggs on. And the bonus is, not only will you have a beautiful looking flower garden and more butterflies coming in, but you'll have more caterpillars, and in turn, you'll have more butterflies, and it's just win, 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 you see? So you might be thinking, Pastor Sam, why are you talking about butterflies and young people today? What does one have to do with the other? Well, what would it be like if we created a butterfly-friendly environment at our church? What if we created an environment that was so friendly and so welcoming to young people that they would want to be here? Now, I know everybody wants to see the beautiful, mature butterflies, but you know what? Sometimes they have to be kind of creepy, and sometimes they eat up all your pizza. But you still got to create an environment. You know what I'm saying? You have to create an environment. You can't have butterflies without having caterpillars. Remember what our mission statement says, church? Changing lives by sharing Christ, making disciples, serving, and giving hope. Don't we want to be a place where young people can grow in their faith and the love of their neighbor, and where they can soar like beautiful butterflies and be all that God wants them to be and created them to be? Can we agree on that? Can y'all say amen to that? Yes, we want to do that. We want to do that. This is a special Sunday today for a couple of reasons. It's All Saints Sunday. As I mentioned before, we give thanks for all the saints that God has put in our lives that have touched our lives in such a special way that are now in heaven. And you might say, okay, all saints. Pastor Sam, I don't know any saints. I just know ordinary people. But did you know that the Bible, the scripture, refers to all of God's people as saints? Including us. That's why when I say good morning, saints, it kind of makes people feel uncomfortable, but it's true. All God's people are saints. But also, the greeting, good morning, sinners, is also true. We are sinners. We are ordinary. We're far from perfect. We're fragile. We're flawed. But what would happen if we didn't have those ordinary, fragile, flawed people that were special to us, that mentored us, that prepared the way for us, that let us be creepy caterpillars? So we say thanks today. We remember what they've done, and we light candles, and we hold that memory in our heart. But it's also special because we're celebrating Holy Communion. You might have noticed on the altar, we're celebrating Holy Communion today. And I think it's really cool that we do both at the same time, because they're connected. United Methodists have a very special way of doing Holy Communion. It's distinctive. It's one of the things that I love the most about being a United Methodist. We practice open communion, which means that everybody who's present at worship is invited to come. Not all denominations do that. We do that because we proclaim that this table is the Lord's table, and everyone is welcome at Christ's table. All who seek to respond to Christ's love and all who want to lead a new life in peace and love with their neighbor, regardless of their membership status or anything else. We believe, as United Methodists, that this is truly a sacrament. It's not just an ordinance. An ordinance is something that you do because the scripture says you're supposed to do it, and you just do it because you're wanting to do something for God. A sacrament is where God is present and does something for you. And that's what we believe is going on at the time we receive Holy Communion, that God is at work. There's something special going on here, and it changes lives. God is actively doing something. God's presence is active among us. That's a sacrament. And here's another fun fact everybody wanted to know. We use grape juice, United Methodists do, instead of wine. And we do that for a couple of reasons. Because of our connection to the early temperance movement in this country, Methodists were highly involved in that. But grape juice was originally invented by Thomas Welch, who was a Methodist, and who wanted to offer something instead of wine for communion. Because at that time, the Methodist Church required abstinence. We no longer require abstinence. We encourage it, but we still use grape juice out of pastoral concern for those who have problems with alcohol. Thomas Welch. Welch is grape juice. Does that sound familiar? Now, today, we might be using Great Value grape juice, but Welch's, okay, he was a Methodist. We remember and we say thanks on All Saints Day. We remember and we say thanks when we have Holy Communion. And what are we thankful for? As the psalmist said, we're thankful for all the mighty acts of God. But here's really the bottom line of the message today. One generation, it says in Psalm 145, for one generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation to another. We've called the names of people near and dear to our heart, and we think about them, and we think about not just their words but their deeds and their example that they live before us. Now, here's the challenging part, because it's not just enough for you and I to remember today. It's not enough for us to just remember and say, thank you, Lord. I want you to take a moment also and consider how we can be a butterfly-friendly church. You hear what I'm saying? How can we pass the faith on from one generation to the next? I was talking with a pastor friend of mine this week, and we were just kind of shooting the breeze, and how are you doing? How's your church doing? How are you holding up? It's what we've been saying over the last 2 or 3 years. And then he said, you know anybody that's looking for a job as a children's director? We don't have a children's director right now. And I said, No, I don't know. You can't have mine. But no, I don't know. I don't really know. And he said, you know, our church doesn't have any children. Zero. And this was not a little bitty church. This was a pretty good sized church. He said, we don't have any kids. We don't have any youth. If we don't create a butterfly friendly church, we're going to look up one day and say, where did all the butterflies go? There used to be a lot of butterflies around here. Oh. Oh. We've been studying the book of Acts on Wednesdays for quite a few months, and we're kind of at the part of the book of Acts where Paul is going around and he's strengthening the churches that he's planted all over Asia Minor. One of the people that goes around with him sometimes is a young guy named Timothy. Timothy is one of the major figures in the early church. He grew up in Lystra. His mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. And it was his mother who was the one who was strong in helping him learn the scriptures and strong in helping him learn the faith. And he was mentored by Paul himself to the point that Paul referred to Timothy as his beloved son in the faith. And here's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm now sure is in you as well. From Lois to Eunice to Timothy. From one generation to another. We need to do more to make sure that the faith gets passed on from one generation to another. Even as we remember the generation that's gone on, we need to do more. We're going to close and enter into our time of Holy Communion by, I want you to hear this prayer, and I want you to affirm it by saying amen at the end, if you really mean it in your heart. These are words, by the way, from our Methodist hymnal that are used when young people are confirmed and become full members of the church after they've made their profession of faith in Christ. This is the congregational response. I just want you to hear it this morning, and I want you to let these words sink in. And then if you affirm this, I want you to say amen at the end, okay? Let's pray. This is what we affirm and what we seek to live out. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, one generation to the next may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. And all God's people said, amen. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks to the Father and he said, drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do so in remembrance of me. For those who are worshiping by live stream, I want to invite you to go and look at whatever you have on hand so that you can participate in Holy Communion with us, because we feel that connection with you as well. For the rest of us, let us pray. Oh God, how thankful we are as we remember the saints today. How thankful we are indeed as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for us, for our redemption and the redemption of the whole world. We say thankful, we say in awe, we say amazed, all of that, because of your great love for us. And now, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on us gathered here out of love for you. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, even as we are the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. As we come to the table today, make us one with each other, make us one with you, and make us one in service to all the world as your hands and your feet, as we are the church redeemed by your blood. Until you come again and we feast at your heavenly banquet, we feast at this banquet today and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of reminders as we receive communion today. It's our custom to, whenever we're in the sanctuary, to kneel and receive communion that way. And if you're not able to do that because of your knees or your backs or your hips or whatever, then just stand. It'll be okay. We'll serve you that way. If you need to be served at your seat, we'll also serve you at your seat. And you can be served. We just want to make sure everyone has access. As I mentioned in the sermon, we have open communion. This is the Lord's table, and all who are present are welcome to come at the Lord's table, regardless of whether you're a member of any church or this church or whatever. All you have to do is have a hungry heart for the Lord. And then finally, it's our custom to leave a communion offering on the altar rail, just whatever God makes you able and God leads you to leave as a communion offering on the rail. What we do with the communion offering is we use that to help people who call our church in need of help. It's our local missions fund. And if you're able and you're led to do that, we ask you to do that. All right. Body of Christ, broken for you. Blood of Christ, shed for you. I want you to come to the table of the Lord. Go in peace, and may the peace of Christ go with you. Amen.
Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you.
go in peace. May the peace of Christ go with you. Amen. Rise now and go in peace, and may the peace of Christ go with you. Amen. Will you stand as you're able for our benediction? Gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Grant that we may go forth strengthened by your Holy Spirit to give ourselves for others. Amen.